And here's a musical sort of number by Waddy J. All Lives Matter, the group The Signal, from a YouTube video, which also has some audio, which you're now about to hear.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heapons, no man, no weapon. Formed against us, glorious destiny. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we all do Ferguson. Get our hands up. They say stay down. And we stand up. Touch me on the ground. The camera panned up. Pointed to the mountaintop. And we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours.
I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
If I need help, this is the last words out of a black person's mouth. I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, we cannot hide in silence, because to sit idly by creates more wounds.
Hey.
Take
take this yearning, paramount desire to connect our voices for this common truth. So we're taking this time to stand up and pour out our souls to you, to show you the weight of the magnitude of what we're going through. That's why deep blood red is all we see. Too much deep blood red in these streets. Oh, how we'd shine, united we'd be, ceasing this fire.
And more recently, here's a story from yesterday's Chronicle, the Bay Area section. Family calls killing by police avoidable, by Megan Cassidy. Not yet a week has passed since 21-year-old Willie McCoy was fatally shot by Vallejo police, but his family has already completed the checklist of a nightmare. They have viewed the body and lost count of the bullet holes. They have watched the bystander's cell phone video of the shooting, heard the gunfire ring out like packs of firecrackers, and they have heard the account from police, who said they approached an unconscious driver in a fast food drive-thru who reached for the gun on his lap as he awoke. Though some details remain unclear, there's little mystery as to what happened last Saturday night. But for McCoy's brothers and cousin, the bigger questions lie in the whys. Why did this have to end with McCoy's death? If that was their child, would they have immediately reacted in the same way, said Mark McCoy, Willie McCoy's older brother? Or is there another peaceful route they could have went? That's my question. About 20 of Willie McCoy's family members gathered in his older brother Corey McCoy's home in Hercules on Thursday evening to mourn together. Some of the women sat on the living room floor and wiped away tears as Willie McCoy's three brothers and cousin spoke to reporters from the kitchen table. Willie McCoy's youngest brother challenged one detail of the police account when officers said they tried to open the car door to retrieve the gun, but the door was locked. The family and their attorney said one of the car windows was busted and replaced with plastic. Couldn't they have torn through that? They didn't try any peaceful solution that would have stopped them from taking his life, Mark McCoy said. It was like execution by firing squad, with six people with fully loaded guns, Willie McCoy's cousin David Harrison added. The family said Willie McCoy, a budding local rapper, was dealt a harsh hand growing up, but had flourished in recent years. He lost both parents before he became a teen, and for a while was shuffled through foster homes. When he was younger, Willie McCoy got into minor trouble, but by about 17, he was on track, Mark McCoy said. Willie McCoy had just returned to the Bay Area after performing some shows out of state, his family said. While he was close with several family members, he had a soft spot for his young nieces and nephews. He'd bring them lunch or come cheer them on at their games, family members said. He was like their protector, Mark McCoy said. Vallejo police were called to a Taco Bell drive-through line on February 9th around 10:30 p.m. after reports that a driver, later identified as Willie McCoy, was slumped over in a silver Mercedes with a gun in his lap. Officers initially called to the scene found the man unresponsive, but the driver suddenly moved as officers worked to assess the situation, police said. The officers told the driver to keep his hands visible. However, the driver quickly reached for the handgun in his lap, police said in a statement. In fear for their own safety, the officers discharged their weapons at the driver, quote unquote, discharged. In other words, shot and killed him. McCoy's death has reignited a conversation on this particularly volatile scenario. How should police engage an unconscious person who has a gun? Officers in similar cases have spent up to an hour working to peacefully rouse the individuals, shouting through loudspeakers or deploying non-lethal force like beanbags. The controversy comes in the crucial moments when the person wakes up, perhaps startled, and makes a move officers deem threatening. In at least two other instances, both in Oakland, officers made split-second decisions to open fire. Such was the case with 30-year-old Demoris Hogg in 2015 and with 32-year-old Joshua Powlick in March. Both men died of their injuries. Police say individuals put themselves in these alt situations and that their actions are responsible for the fatal outcomes. But critics say police don't account for the possibility that their presence could in itself cause this reaction. The ACLU weighed in on Willie McCoy's death on Thursday and touted a new bill that would narrow the standard for officers to legally use deadly force. Instead of requiring that officers avoid using deadly force whenever possible, current law allows police officers to use deadly force and take someone's life even when officers have other options, said Peter Bibbring, Police Practices Director of the ACLU of California. This permissive approach continues to result in far too many people, especially people of color, ending up dead at the hands of police. And that's the story in yesterday's Chronicle. Family calls police, killing by police, avoidable.